in my server serving me. Your computer will print. Should you call the president? What in the world are you gonna do? Call Adam, the computer guy. Call Adam. Don't know the reason why. Do you find it a waste of time? Because you cannot hear it online. Call Adam, the computer guy. Or go online at thecomputerguy.com. There's a click of the mouse.
Adam, the computer guy. Tis I. Good morning. Hey, thank you for listening on this beautiful Thursday, early fall. Feels a little more like July than September, but that's okay. We like a little variety in the weather. It makes things more fun. Here in Mid-Ohio, historic Marion. Adam Lepp here, live in the studio. Adam, the computer guy. That's I. Yes, we like to rhyme. We like to use alliterations. That's kind of fun. Anyway, what do we do here on the Adam, the computer guy radio show, you might ask? Well, we talk today's top technology topics. Topics from the world of politics and sports, if they relate to technology, medical technology, make your computer at your home or your office or even your car, of course, in your pocket, function better, more securely, keeping information away from prying ears, eyes, and other entities that really have no business spying on you. Questions about how to make your technologically oriented life better, more profitable, and of course, more fun. We take your telephone calls here. I provide free advice. I'll even do that for you. Give you advice on making your tech work better. The number here at the station is 740-383-9944. You don't have to swipe your credit card to pay for advice. Give me a call. I'll try to solve your issues. If you want to talk about a topic related to tech, again, much in the world of politics and sports. Those are pretty hot topics right now. We talk about them fairly frequently. Just give me a ring. I'm expecting one of my regular listeners from Cincinnati to call, and we're probably going to talk some politics and sports as they relate to social media and computers. So feel free to chime in here, and you can be first in line in the telephone arrangement here at the studio in the Marion Center Mall with me, Adam Lepp, the computer guy. From the world of medical technology, check this out. We like to cover some things that can not only intrigue the mind. It's my background from an educational standpoint is in chemistry, so anything medical related I certainly find fascinating, to say the least, but this also is a major life enhancement story. A small device implanted under the skin can improve breast cancer survival by catching cancer cells, slowing the development of metastatic tumors in other organs, and allowing time to intervene with surgery or other therapies. These findings were reported in Cancer Research. They suggest a path for identifying metastatic cancer early and intervening to improve outcomes. Author Lonnie Shea, a PhD, a professor at the Biomedical Engineering Department at the University of Michigan, the state up north, very smart gentleman there, saying that the study shows that in the metastatic setting, early detection combined with a therapeutic intervention can improve outcomes. Early detection of a primary tumor is generally associated with improved outcomes, but that's not necessarily been tested in metastatic cancer. The study was done in mice. It expands on previous research from the same research team at the University of Michigan, showing that the implantable scaffold device effectively captures the metastatic cancer cells. The researchers improve upon their device in this case and show that surgery prior to the first signs of metastatic cancer improved survival. We'll cover more on that story a little later in the show, but my telephone is ringing. We love it when our listeners call. It's cool, it's fun, and we talk about great topics. Good morning. You are on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show.
How you doing, sir?
Oh, fantastic. This must be ZB, right?
Yep.
Mr. Zachary B. from Cincinnati. Actually, from Lakota, I believe, out by Hamilton Fairfield in that beautiful part of southwestern in the Buckeye State. Discussing about some scientists from the state up north, some very smart people, helping to control cancer with some great research at the University of Michigan. So we cover technology from many different angles. Zach, you're a social media person, guru, and I think you mentioned your dad is a law enforcement officer. We salute his fine service. Does he work for one of the police departments in the area? What does he do exactly?
He's a retired Ohio State Patrolman.
Ohio State Patrolman.
30 years. Now he works as the evidence supervisor with the Hamilton City Police Department.
Well, that's a very honorable line of work. Interesting, certainly. You know, Hamilton. Hamilton's a really cool town. It's very diverse for, I guess, a city. It's about twice the size of Marion.
They've had their ups and downs, but they're trying to rebuild it now. They're fixing up the area, fixing up a lot of the structures and within the city, trying to make it a safer and enjoyable place, because there's a lot of great things that go on in the city of Hamilton, and it's diverse, and they're trying to there's been a lot of crime lately in the area. Obviously, drugs are a big issue in Hamilton right now, just like they are in much of the country. So, they're trying to cut down on that.
Yeah, I love the downtown. Very historic and beautiful architecture. Of course, one of our favorite baseball figures, Mr. Joe Nuxall. He's from Hamilton. I believe his son, Kim, he teaches, I think it's PE in Fairfield, right? You would know.
Yes,
that. That's kind of neck
Kim,
of the woods.
Kim Nuxall actually started the baseball organization that I am very close to, and I work with the Hamilton Joes. Your 2016 Great Lakes Summer Collegiate League champions.
And you're an umpire too, right? A man of many talents.
Yes. And umpire, football coach. Yes.
And the rumor has it you're actually Harry Yeprum Jr.'s son, but that
that has been mentioned. Yes.
Not a confirmed rumor. Later today, Zach, and all my listeners, the 100-year-old daughter of Babe Ruth will be on with our program manager and show host and interviewer extraordinaire Scott Spears. I mean, pretty cool. I mean, Babe Ruth, I mean, he's God for a baseball fan like you or I.
Yeah.
And just amazing that his daughter is going to be on with Scott. I'm looking forward to that interview. That will certainly be intriguing. You know, Babe Ruth started as a pitcher. Yeah, as you probably know, Zach,
he
was such a good pitcher, but his value was better as an outfielder with a strong arm, kind of like our, of course, Jay Bruce, a former Reds player, and Paul O'Neill, a Columbus native who played for the Reds and the Yankees, and of course, Babe Ruth hit a lot of home runs and had a great great bubbly personality. And
rumor has it that Harry Yeprum Jr. will pitch the final game for the Reds this year.
Well, considering how some of their pitchers are doing, I wouldn't be surprised at all. And I think he'll bring people into the seats. And kind of like Satchel Paige, you know, be an older gentleman who can still pitch and still get him out. Interesting.
You know, it's really sad, some of these cheap promotions the Reds are, but I'm not trying to bash the Reds anyway. I'm a season ticket holder. I love them. But they may be mad with some of their moves, and obviously getting rid of Dusty really made me mad, but some of the little cheap promotions that they're doing, like trying to give away this cheap T-shirt that probably fits someone that's two sizes smaller than me. I mean,
well, maybe it's like Billy Hamilton size, because he's kind of a small person, but he's a lot stronger than he looks. So you never quite know. Probably their all around biggest player, Jay Bruce, he was traded to the Big Apple. It seems like he did a lot better in Cincinnati. I think his personality is kind of laid back. Paul O'Neill, he was a bit more of an intense type person. Jay Bruce is very laid back, and I'm not sure that he and New York City really are a good mix. But
he's more of he's not out there in the spotlight, you know, kind of like some, like, you know, a Derek Jeter type or anything. He's more of a role player, so.
Yeah, ironically, Paul O'Neill, being a Columbus native, he thrived in New York City. And Jay Bruce from Texas, you know, with his, you know, more of the laid-back personality, you know, a cerebral type of player. I think he's talented enough, especially defensively. He'll work well anywhere, but we'll see how he does with the Mets.
But
there's a few people there that probably aren't overly thrilled with his performance.
I got to run here in a few minutes, but real quick.
Okay, sure.
To get to the topic,
oh, please.
That Harry had discussed about how social media is affecting our current situation in Charlotte.
Yes, and as we discuss, people talking on social media has a large influence on pretty much any news story, and certainly the Charlotte story is unfolding very rapidly.
Yeah, there's a lot, unfortunately, in today's world, there's a lot of followers instead of leaders, and people tend to follow what they see, and a lot of people are in it for the spotlight and the glamour than to really understand what's going on. So
I would say social media puts people of all walks of life in the spotlight, and that may very well be a higher priority for some people than the seriousness of the issue. I would agree with that totally.
I mean, I was watching CNN last night. They had the mayor from New York on there. Well, they had Giuliani on there, but they had the current mayor on there talking about how social media makes situations like this 10 times worse, because not only do you have to deal with what's going on the ground, but you got to watch for threats being made on social media, because every threat got to be taken seriously.
Definitely, especially in our technologically dominated society, and right now, a few weeks away from a major election, there are so much stuff going on. What's kind of your take on it, Zach? Is it? I mean, is it? We kind of need to take it day by day, or is there a solution?
I mean, is there bad police out there? Yes, there's bad people in all walks of life. But I don't necessarily agree with every situation is the officer's fault. Now it's coming out that this guy, well, it's being reported this gentleman had a gun. His parents are trying to say that it was a book. I mean, that's kind of, I don't really buy that. I don't think it was a book. I mean, these guys are just trying to do their job just like everyone else is, and I don't think they're out there. I don't think they wake up in the morning deciding on what they're going to do and how they're going to do it. I mean, they're just trying to get their job done and get home to their families, and yet, I mean, nobody wants to be in law enforcement today because of the stuff that's going on.
Yeah, it's a very honorable line of work, and the rewards are great, and it's a stable income, but yeah, you want to be sure you go into work every morning and know that you'll be able to go home.
I tried to get, you know, Harry Efron Jr. was, he wanted to suit up and get out there for a day, but I said he eats too many donuts that his button would pop up the front of the uniform.
Well, LOL to that. Little humor is always the best medicine, Zach. I can tell you. We discussed.
I gotta get my
topics.
Shots in on him, because he always gets his shots in on me. And like I've said in the past, my jokes aren't as funny as his. But every time I get a chance to take a little nab at him, I have to do it. So.
Yeah. One question for you, Zach. You're in your 20s, if I'm not mistaken.
And yes.
Are you a Pokemon 20. Go player, or is that something?
No. I got too much going on for the head.
You always think while you're umpiring, there should be some Pokemon there on the baseball field, or do you find the whole thing rather juvenile? Or I mean, you just not have enough time for it, or is it just doesn't interest you whatsoever? Because you're in that demographic of people that play it. So.
Oh yeah. It's
kind of surprising.
I just got too much. You know, I'm in the school all day, then I coach, I umpire, I leave at 6 in the morning, and I don't get home until like 10 at night, so I don't got time for...
You're quite a industrious gentleman there, Zach. Do you find that the players that you coach, do they spend time Pokemoning when they should be spending time...
Yeah, I'm sure some of them do, yeah.
...practicing or listening to you or...
Yeah, we're 3-1, by the way, and actually... Believe it or not, we scrimmaged. I believe is it Marion Local that's up there by you?
The Marion City Schools?
Yeah, is it Marion Stein Local or something like that?
Yeah, I can check on it. There are a lot of regional districts in addition to.
There's a powerhouse up there. I forget their name. I know it's Marion something.
I can check for you. Yeah. And you're with Lakota, is it the district that you're with, right?
No, I'm actually, I coach football at Gamble Montessori.
Okay,
Gamble. It's actually in Westwood, right by your...
Oh, by my property there in Westwood, yeah.
No, it's off of Montana and Felicity.
Oh, that's really close to where I own a couple properties, yes. Yeah, I'm also in the landlord business. Adam is a person of many, many endeavors, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm actually pulling up the schedule. And the Gamble Montessori football schedule, and I think that's what you were referring to. Yeah, Coach Stan West.
Actually, that's the old coach.
That's okay. That shows how the internet maxpreps.com. You'd think they would be accurate because I've used that site before.
They've been struggling a little bit with updating the smaller schools lately.
Yeah, it says Varsity 2016 Coach Stan West. I mean, so even 2700 Felicity Place, that's walking distance from my
yes.
properties. So even these websites, and that's a good point, Zach. The internet's great. You can share information even across the globe in a snap of a finger. But yet you go to a website that's a major one here regionally, and one that people look at for information and. The coach's name is wrong, so that happens sometimes. You have to be sure the information that you see online is accurate.
We play a beautiful Taft High School this coming Saturday. If you're familiar with Taft High School, is
I know a little bit about it. Yeah, not a lot,
okay.
But yeah, a bit. There are so many of them. Keeping track of schools, but.
Then next week we play a beautiful Dayton Welcome Stadium, if you know where that's at.
I believe so. Yeah, I do know.
Where the UD Flyers play.
Do you know the Gem City fairly well? So, yeah, it looks like you're a busy man, Zach, and I'm glad you're not interfering by Pokemoning. Because,
no.
Again, we find people doing that and spending more time looking for Pokemon than they should be working or whatever else might be in their
Mr.
list.
Mr. Yipram called in yet.
He has not called in, but I've invited him to let his fingers do the walk-in, so to speak, and be a part of the Adam the Computer Guy radio show.
Yes.
So anything else you'd like to contribute to the conversation today, Zach? I mean, you have great insights, and I really appreciate when you call. We can talk about sports, politics, and law enforcement.
All right, so I got to run. I will be listening, try to listen this afternoon at 1:15 Eastern Standard Time.
You got it. And of course, you can go to our website, wwgh1071.com, and listen to archives of shows. And I'm looking forward to
all
hearing
right.
Babe Ruth's daughter. That will be a good conversation.
Yes,
okay, well, thanks again for calling, Zach. Have a great day.
You
and
too,
say hi to your neighbors there in southwestern Ohio.
Yes,
appreciate
sir.
It. Adam the Computer Guy radio show here with me, Adam Lepp, and that's one of our regular listeners, a social media friend of mine, and a regular caller to the show, Mr. Zach B. from the Hamilton... Ohio area, in the hometown of Joe Nuxall, one of the greatest players and broadcasters ever to be with the Cincinnati Reds. Feel free to join the conversation here again. Sports, politics, and social media current events always welcome. So many things that touch our life and also relate to technology and online conversations. 740-383-9944. Don't be shy. Pick up the telephone. Telecommunications device and join the conversation. We were discussing about some very brilliant professors over at the University of Michigan from the state up north that can help to solve the major issue with breast cancer and aggressive forms of breast cancer. And medical technology, always a big topic here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show. They did the study on mice in the lab. And found that at day 5 after tumor initiation with mice that they were using in their lab, that a detectable percentage of tumor cells within the scaffold, but none in the lung, the liver, or the brain. At 15 days after the tumor initiation, they found 64% fewer cancer cells in the liver and 75% fewer cancer cells in the brains of mice compared to mice that were not part of this test study. So the ability to use technology when scientists work together to solve major medical issues such as cancer is not obviously life-saving and groundbreaking, but with me and my chemistry background, something that I find fascinating with a capital F. Adam the Computer Guy here with my twice-weekly radio show here on Marion's Talking Place, WWGH. Something else that we cover regularly on this show, because I kind of live in the fantasy world of being the late, great Casey Kasem and his American Top 40 and his countdowns, where he counted down the top songs. Well, we count down sometimes the top websites in the United States. We haven't done that in probably a couple months because I've been kind of busy with other topics. So many things to talk about, and great callers like Zach and Harry contributing to the conversation. So what are some of the top 50 websites in the United States currently, you might ask? Well, at number 48 is Pornhub.com. Now, we're a family station and a family show. I'm not going to tell you what Pornhub is, but you probably can figure it out. It's number 48. Target.com is 47. AOL.com. Now, there's one that has certainly lost popularity in the last few years. AOL is still being used, but not to the extent that it was 10 years ago. AOL.com is the number 44 website in the United States. WordPress.com. WordPress being a platform that's used to develop websites, including the WWGH1071.com website that I maintain. WordPress.com offers some tools, some templates that you can use to develop websites in that platform. They're at number 40. Kind of a surprise, Microsoft.com is only the 39th most popular website in the United States. And again, they're not really a .com, but certainly you go to their website to get software updates and look at buying Microsoft Office and other programs. So 39, a bit low for a company that large and well-known, but that's the competitive world of the internet for you. Major issuer of credit cards, bankofamerica.com, number 27. So now we go into the top 25 websites in the United States of America. Discussed Microsoft, but 39, I believe. Apple is number 25. So Apple.com is much higher than Microsoft, certainly with the new version of the mobile software, the iPhone, iPad software. The popularity of Apple's products, I'm not surprised that they've inched up a bit, and now they're comfortably ahead of Microsoft in the website rankings tallies. I guess you can say that. Website rankings or website tallies. MSN.com, Microsoft site. It's for news and shopping and email and other stuff like that. Number 23, major news site, and look for this one to increase in popularity as the election gets closer and closer. CNN.com, number 22. Number 19, a major bank site, bank with a big presence here in Ohio, Chase.com, number 19. Sports, yes, favorite topic of mine, Zach and Harry and many of our listeners, ESPN.com, number 17. At number 10, LinkedIn.com, a more professional human resources-oriented version of what Facebook and Twitter would offer in terms of social media. They are the number 10 website in the United States of America. Reddit.com, a user-generated news site, which often covers the lighter side of things. Number 9. eBay.com, the online auction and site where you can sell all kinds of good stuff. Number 8. Twitter.com, number 7. A favorite site of mine, Wikipedia.org. The encyclopedia that you as a user can help contribute to. Number 6. Yahoo. Number 5. Of course, the two big ones are likely Facebook and Google. We haven't gotten to them yet, so let's see where they rank in the top websites in the United States. Amazon.com, where you can buy pretty much anything and usually get it at a very good price. Number 4. Facebook.com. Number 3, YouTube, number 2. Now, YouTube didn't used to be quite that high. Facebook was number 2, but now it's number 3. And I think the reason is that people use it mobile. They use it on their phone. They use the app, and so it doesn't count as a website. It just counts as an app usage. And YouTube, again, has an app, but because you're watching videos, you often want to see it on your computer with your nice 24-inch monitor. So that probably has helped YouTube increase its ranking. So what is the number one website in the United States? Not a surprise. It's Google. So Yahoo, number five. Yahoo's been around quite a bit longer than Google, but Google is number one. And, of course, Google owns YouTube. So they're essentially number one and number two. So Google, a very powerful force in the internet, and they have Google Plus, certainly social media to an extent. I mean, not like Facebook or LinkedIn or Twitter, but to a limited extent. Of course, Gmail, Google's email service. Google and the internet pretty much going hand in hand. Let's put it that way. And Facebook, a very close second. Let me know what you think about these website rankings and any surprises here. You know, is Microsoft a little further down than you thought it might be? Are you surprised that an adult site is in the top 50? You can email me, Adam at WWGH1071.com, or, of course, give me a call. I'm live here in the studio at the Marion Center Mall, 740-383-9944. We talk about people talking on social media, maybe when they should be working, again, Pokemoning or what have you. An unfortunate side of that would be online bullying. And that's something which, unfortunately, is increasing. It's very easy to bully someone online versus doing it on the school playground, and it's becoming an increasing problem, one that needs to be controlled. Bullying and harassment, obviously, are real problems, not just for children, but also for adults. Playboy playmate Danny Mathers recently had a Snapchat post of a nude woman who was over 70 years old. And this woman had a reasonable expectation of privacy in a locker room shower. Danny Mathers commented, "If I can't unsee this, then you can't either." The Los Angeles Police Department asked the victim, the older woman who was shown without any clothing, to identify herself and aid in its criminal investigation of the incident. But could you blame her if she doesn't want to cooperate? So we pretty much call this body shaming. And with the instant nature of the internet and social media, it's becoming a big problem, an embarrassing one, and one I think we need to get under control. 10 years ago, in 2006, before there was a name for this body shaming, author Sue Scheff won a large lawsuit for internet defamation and invasion of privacy. That victory gave Sue Scheff, an author, a platform to advocate for those that have been, quote, silently and quietly suffering. Body shaming and other forms of online abuse are destroying lives emotionally, physically, and financially. Sue Scheff said, "What people don't recognize is that although we speak a lot about what it does to our youth, we are failing to understand how it affects adults. The saddest part is that it's also adults that are acting like children with their keypads." So again, with the power of the internet, suddenly 40, 50-year-old people are acting, so to speak, their shoe size, not their age. And that certainly is a problem. Sue Scheff said, "The feeling of hopelessness is overwhelming, as well as the fear. Fear takes over and can literally paralyze you so that you can become ill. It's truly a vicious cycle. Cyberbullying, stalking, virtual threats are real. I've been there." And that comes from Sue Scheff, who won a big case about 10 years ago relating to internet defamation and invasion of privacy. Now, since that time, there have been more ways for victims to seek out help. Organizations such as the SOS Online Network, Heart Mob, and Cyber Civil Rights Initiative have come to the rescue. Therapists also are now recognizing the emotional damage that these attacks can inflict on adults. Sue Sheff was interviewed in 2007 on national TV and was advised to, quote, just move on from it. She obviously didn't understand this cyber trash was floating online every time somebody put my name through the Google rinse cycle. It literally made me a social hermit. I feared giving my name out for years. That anxiety of someone Googling my name was paralyzing. Even when data has been deleted from the web, it takes just one person who has preserved the information offline to revive it and spread it. European regulators have tasked Google with accommodating citizens' quote, right to be forgotten. What's posted on the internet may stay on the internet, but links that constantly surface humiliating information don't have to. April Massini, a relationship and etiquette expert, said the internet is a tool, and whether it's used to build or destroy is up to the people who use it. When used for evil, the internet is very dangerous. Teens as well as adults have committed suicide as a result of cyberbullying. She said there's no easy way to suppress body shaming and other forms of abuse, especially when considering the protections of the First Amendment and the double-edged sword of anonymity. Without it, whistleblowers would be unable to make the revelations that so often are required to bring about positive change. Mel Jones is a motivational speaker. He said instead of looking to change the internet, people should work to improve their own behavior. And a great place to start is with young people. He said the only way to stomp out online abuse is to build up kids' self-esteem in school so that they don't reflect their own insecurities about themselves on others. Also, we must teach the kids empathy. It's hard to understand how you're making someone else feel if you never had someone do it to you. So online bullying, not just by kids, but by adults, as I say, who act their shoe size, not their age. What do you think about this? It's a serious problem. Again, the ability to communicate at a split second, even with people across the world, is a great thing about the internet and about computers, but there is a dark side. Love to hear what you have to say. Hey, give me a call right now. I am live in the studio, taking your telephone calls in the Marion Center Mall. The number is 740-383-WWGH, 740-383-9944. Another way to get in touch with me is by sending me an email. Yes, and I read emails regularly. Adam@WWGH1071.com. Beep, beep. Okay, I tooted my own horn there. That's good. Talking about the website, which is at WWGH1071.com. With said website, you can look at our show schedule. I now have my own section. How about that? A little photograph of yours truly, information about my show, and dozens of shows from the archives back when we started with the Adam the Computer Guy show in early January of 2016 when it was cold and wintry outside. Again, it's September today, but it feels a little more like July, but I'm not complaining one bit, and I'm sure the snow will be here before long, so don't fret. Of course, our local legend, Charlie Evers, our esteemed program manager and interviewer extraordinaire, Scott Spears, archives of all their shows. Scott is a man who has celebrity interviews. I'm surprised how he manages to get interviews with some of these people. One of my favorite actresses, Marla Gibbs from The Jeffersons. Also, she starred with Columbus native Hal Williams in 227. She talked to Scott earlier this week. Great conversation. Go to our website. Look under the Now with Scott Spears section to hear Scott's celebrity interview with Marla Gibbs and many more people. Of course, David Newell, Mr. McFeely from Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. He's been on with Scott many times. He was live in the studio recently. I met him. What a fine gentleman. Anyway, interviews with him are also on our website at WWGH1071.com. Robert Guillaume, again, star of Benson and then Soap. Charlotte Ray, Mrs. Garrett. Pat Carroll, she's been on several times. And, of course, Dick Gregory, another regular guest on the Scott Spears Show. All of that's available in our archives at WWGH1071.com. I want to also reiterate, Zach and I were talking earlier, the daughter of perhaps the greatest baseball player ever, Babe Ruth, his 100-year-old daughter. We'll be talking with Scott shortly after 1 o'clock. Don't want to miss that. You can always listen online at our website, or one great way to listen is download the free app called TuneIn. You can get that from the App Store or Google Play. Just search for WWGH, bookmark it, make it a favorite, click the little triangle thingy to listen, and voila. No matter where you are in the great world that we live in, you can listen to our station live. And, of course, you can call in 740-383-9944. Of course, back in the olden days, like when I was in school, you had to pay long distance to call somewhere that wasn't local. But long distance charges are pretty much a thing of the past. So more than likely, if you do call, like Zach, who called from the Cincinnati area about 120 miles away, no charge to call long distance. I remember having to call my grandmother in New York City, and it was 60 cents for the first minute, and like 30 cents for each additional minute. And those were in 1970s money. But those days are a thing of the past. We've evolved so much with technology, and pretty much phone numbers, at least when you call in the United States and sometimes in Canada and Mexico, it is at no charge whatsoever besides what you pay monthly for your service. The wonders of technology, always a great topic here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show with me, Adam Lepp, twice a week shortly after the 9 a.m. features on Marion's Talking Place. WWGH. We discussed a very cool medical technology story earlier in the show, a favorite topic of mine. Another topic that we delve into regularly, if you probably listen, you probably know what I'm going to be getting at, would be self-driving cars. See, I drive my six-speed stick shift vehicle from my domicile to the station. I prefer to drive the car myself, steer myself, shift myself, but if you're a little more high-tech than I am, when you get behind the wheel, you may want to have a car that drives itself. Of course, we discussed the safety. Is it safe to have cars in the road that don't have a human being, a Homo sapiens, behind the wheel? Anthony Fox, he is the U.S. Transportation Secretary. On Tuesday, he introduced new federal guidelines for the very rapidly emerging automated vehicle industry. And that includes not just self-driving cars with no Homo sapiens behind the wheel, but semi-autonomous vehicles, vehicles with computers assisting the drivers as they navigate the roads in the great country of ours. This will create a framework that will help drive one of the most important new facets of our national economy. Anthony Fox, again, the U.S. Transportation Secretary, was joined by Mark Rosekind, the administrator of the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration. See, I said that all in one breath. How about that? The coffee must be working. Anyway, they outlined the framework that will form new federal regulations to govern how the self-driving industry goes forward. There are currently efforts underway to create safety and operational standards at a time when nearly every major automaker, technology, and ride-sharing firm is racing to compete in this multi-billion dollar industry of self-driving and semi-self-driving vehicles. That includes not just cars, but also trucks. The promise is to provide new levels of mobility for millions of Americans who currently cannot access personal transportation. Now, this federal plan calls for a 15-point safety assessment that would create the framework for the design, manufacture, testing, and deployment of automated vehicles. It would ensure that cars would be crash-worthy, have a mechanism to react to vehicle failure, be protected against hacking. We've talked about how some hackers, they may be smart, but they're not very ethical, can literally take over the computer of an automated vehicle and, not surprisingly, cause a lot of problems. And, of course, addressing that is very, very important. The guidelines would influence how the federal government would split up jurisdictional issues with states over which issues would be handled at what level. For example, licensing, insurance, enforcement. We have national regulations and guidelines for automated and semi-automated vehicles. But, of course, a lot of the regulations take place at the state level. For example, your driver's license. There are differences in driver licensing laws between the states, the age that you can drive a car, the age you can drive a car without having a licensed driver in the passenger seat, etc. So they have to make guidelines about which level of government enforces what. For example, federal safety regulations would apply to vehicles fully automated with software, but states would be in charge of vehicles with a driver in control. But vehicles that are being aided by software, we would call semi-automated vehicles. And that, again, comes from U.S. Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox. Now, not surprisingly, these guidelines are coming at an important crossroads, an important time for the industry. And, again, with a new president in the White House soon, it makes it even more timely of an issue. Earlier this year, we talked about this. A Tesla driver suffered a fatal accident in a test driving situation. And critics have charged that Tesla did not disclose the incident to regulators in the proper way. Meanwhile, the very well-known ride-sharing company Uber recently began a major test of autonomous vehicle technology in the town that our friend Mr. McFeely lives in, Pittsburgh. I wonder if Mr. McFeely has taken a ride in an automated Uber. I'll have to ask Mr. McFeely next time I see him, or maybe Scott would know. Anyway, in Pittsburgh, cars are picking up live passengers in real traffic situations, a big step for the industry that largely has been testing driverless cars on test tracks. So would you go into an Uber with a non-human being behind the wheel? Well, Adam would politely decline, but maybe someone a little more daring than myself would be willing to give it a whirl. Federal guidelines are necessary to help ensure that there is a level of uniformity in the industry, given that car manufacturers and technology companies will be dealing with multi-state regulatory frameworks, and passengers likely will be traveling across borders on a regular basis. Jack Nerad, executive market analyst for Kelley Blue Book, said it's valuable to both the industry and to the consumer to have federal guidelines for autonomous vehicles. He said vehicles operate across state lines and, of course, are sold in every state and territory, so one set of regulations would be most efficient. Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They've done many things to keep intoxicated drivers off of the road. They've advocated for ignition interlock laws and technology that automatically would disable a vehicle that was being operated by a drunk driver. Comes from Colleen Sheehy Church, National President of Mothers Against Drunk Driving. They, along with the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, earlier this year helped unveil a test vehicle using the driver alcohol detection system for safety, which blocks a car from starting when the driver's blood alcohol level reaches 0.08. Colleen Sheehy Church, again, National President of Mothers Against Drunk Driving, or MAD, she said driverless cars have the potential to eliminate drunk, drugged, and drowsy driving. A fully autonomous vehicle would stop a drunk or drugged driver simply because he or she cannot physically drive the vehicle. Also, autonomous and vehicle technology would open up major opportunities for disabled and elderly people that lack the ability to drive themselves to the most basic life functions, like the workplace or the doctor's office or the recreational center. That comes from Henry Claypool from the Community Living Policy Center at the University of California in San Francisco. So, a lot of exciting developments in the autonomous vehicle realm. Safety, how does it affect insurance costs? And even companies like Uber having non-homo sapiens taking you on a ride, ride-sharing service. Cool stuff, definitely high-tech, innovative, and one that I think unfolds with changes pretty much every day. And we cover that stuff here on the Adam the Computer Guy radio show, the latest in technology, in gadgetry, ways to make your life more efficient, more fun, more safe, more private when applicable, and hopefully more profitable. Take your phone calls here at 740-383-9944. I want to thank Zach B. from the area just north of Cincinnati for calling. Some great conversation. Very insightful gentleman, and we appreciate his conversation. The Adam the Computer Guy radio show is coming to a conclusion, but don't touch that dial, as they say. After the 10 a.m. features, news, and some teasers on previous and upcoming shows, it is our local radio legend, Mr. Charlie Evers, taking your phone calls live at 740-383-9944. I'm AdamTheComputerGuy.com.